And we are now joined by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A, with whom we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning, Rich. I'd be better if I was there in person,
well,
but we have floor this morning and into the afternoon today, so I stayed up in St. Paul last night.
Yeah. I want to talk about how things are going up there and like what's the mood and what's the like we're sort of into the I don't know if we call this the home stretch, but it's the, you're on the back corner now. And
yes.
The constitutional adjournment date is what, May 19th? Is that right?
May 19th, yep. Okay. So 4 weeks from Monday.
You have 4 weeks from Monday to create a new budget for the state of Minnesota. What's the mood up there?
Well, we're churning along. So this is the week where, since I'm not on the Ways and Means Committee, which is the equivalent to that in the Senate, is their Finance Committee, but it's the committee that anything that has a fiscal impact has to go there before it can be scheduled to be heard on the floor. So we are turning through the bills coming out, the omnibus bills coming out of each committee. Ways and Means is meeting a ton this week to do their due diligence and get it ready for the floor. And so I'm not on that committee, so it's not as busy a week for me this week. We have been told next week. It's just floor, every day, all day next week to get those bills passed off of our chamber so that then we can go into conference with whatever the Senate sends. So sure. I would say the mood, first of all, the weather's really helpful when it's sunny and not helpful when it's overcast and cloudy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, things for the most part are moving along. We still don't have a health bill, which is one of the committees that I'm on, chaired by Northfielder Robert Bierman.
Right.
So that is one of the big holdups for the session, but otherwise things are rolling along.
Are you guys having to spend extra time in committee trying to get that together for the help? No. Oh, interesting.
Nope. That is a conversation with leadership and the co-chairs. And I know they have been at an impasse around providing the opportunity for undocumented folks to be able to join Minnesota Care.
Right.
So that was, you know, a big move that we made to be able to include those folks, which actually helps the premiums for all of us and the cost of healthcare be more affordable, because it's not folks who don't have insurance, using our emergency rooms, et cetera. So that's not a thing we're willing to give on, and apparently that's not a thing that the Republicans are willing to do anything else around. So I'm not sure how that gets unstuck. That's over my pay grade.
Right. It's generally these things seem to be at, you know, complete loggerheads until, you know, usually the very last minute when everyone feels like, well, we've got to do something.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Here's hoping.
So that's the way it's been in the past few years, at least. So,
yeah.
Hey, today is Arbor Day.
It is. Happy Arbor Day.
Happy Arbor Day to you. I think you and my wife might be the two people I know who love Arbor Day the most. possibly one of my daughters as well. Trees are a big thing in my house. And of course it's Earth Day. Well, it was Earth Day on Tuesday. Northfield is celebrating Earth Day tomorrow. Will you be around for some of the festivities tomorrow?
Likely, but not officially.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah. And sort of in that same vein, the House did pass an ag bill. Is that correct?
Yes. So yesterday we passed our first committee omnibus bill, which was our agriculture bill, of which is still near and dear to my heart, even though I'm not on that committee this time around. So And just with our kind of budget situation, there's a lot of really good stuff for the priorities for both sides of the aisle. And of course, then I'm not sure what the ag bill out of the Senate will look like, and they'll have to be figuring out those, figuring out those differences. But the thing that I was really excited about most, we know that the Department of Agriculture, we had like, double digit millions of funds from the USDA to support our farm to school and early care program. So those funds go directly to paying farmers and to paying school districts to get more local food on the trays of our youngest Minnesotans. Yeah. And in the Trump administration, they came in and burned that program to the ground and just canceled these contracts. And so it was interesting because it was like the same week that those cuts happened, then RFK Jr. was talking about like, oh, it'd be so great to get local foods on, you know, for kids in school. It was like, wow. Well, y'all just totally torched that program and the infrastructure that existed around that for decades. And that included a lot of money coming to Minnesota farmers and school districts. So there's no way that we can plug that hole. But there were additional funds, and that was that's a bill that I have carried in the past, the Farm to School and Early Care bill.
Yeah.
So there's additional funds that we were able to put in there from the state to try to backfill a little bit as our farmers are trying to plan their growing seasons and, you know, and also programs that go get locally grown food into food shelves too. So that is, you know, a dark cloud, but a little bit of silver lining that comes out of the ag bill.
Yeah, these days, it's little victories that you have to celebrate every single one of them.
I mean, you know what? We're going to do that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You yep. absolutely should. This is sort of out of left field, but and I don't know that you're real plugged into this, but has there been any progress at all on a farm bill from the federal government? Or is that even something worth talking about anymore?
That's a great question, because that is a thing I used to have more of my attention towards. Yeah. And I think with all the little and big fires everywhere, yep. I haven't heard a lot of discussion around that. And so I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that's just, again, one of these programs that provides food stability, that provides, you know, the support for farmers. If that just goes away, I mean, it would be incredibly detrimental to growers and eaters across the country. But yeah, I haven't heard discussion around it. So I guess I can't tell you, but the fact that I haven't heard about it, I don't think is a good sign.
Yeah. Kind of feels like farmers are taking some body blows right now between all the stuff that's happening without the farm bill and then the tariffs, especially with China. It just doesn't feel like a good time to be a farmer right now.
No, they're not feeling great either. That's... You know, there's like not a lot of certainty, and then also not a lot of support.
Yeah.
So, it's always tough when you make your livelihood based on so many other factors outside of your control, like weather, climate, markets. But it's an especially rough time for our growers right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Northfield, we're proud of our schools and Northfield's a great town, but this is still an ag-based economy. And we need to do whatever we can to support our local farmers as much as possible.
So, I mean, and that's our largest industry in the state of Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It impacts us for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So earlier this week, you attended the State of the State Address, Governor Walz's State of the State Address.
I did. My second State of the State Address. Last year, he did a road trip down to Owatonna. It was one of the nights I had my kids, so I did not go. But yeah, it was my first. It was actually my first one. I realized that I was in the chamber for its entirety because the first time around, I was part of the party to escort the governor into our chamber. So I did not realize kind of the formalities of the very beginning of the sergeant at arms announcing the senators and us, you know, welcoming them into the chamber and then announcing the Supreme Court, announcing congressional delegation. Hmm. It just felt like there was a lot of, you know, it's a formality
pomp
thing, but it was a lot of, and a lot of folks were joking. I'm not Catholic, but I was raised Lutheran, so there was some echoes of this. But a lot of Catholics were saying, like, "Oh, it's just like Mass, just like stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down,
right.
stand up."
Yeah, exactly. Or any other Lutheran Christmas service you've ever
Yes. So I had missed that portion before because then the governor is the last one who is announced and then escorted in, and so I had come in as part of his official party last time around. So it was kind of cool to be like, oh, I didn't know any of this part happened, because also, like, that's not interesting to put on TV. I mean, you can, you know, you can watch the live stream, but as far as like when you watch the State of the State address, what you see is just the speech part.
Right.
So, yeah, but he kept it tight. We, you know, started at 7 and we're done at 7:30, and that's with like a lot of, you know, standing ovations and applauses.
That's pretty good. Well done, Governor Walz.
We were pleasantly surprised, cuz I honestly could not remember how long it was before. So, that was appreciated, and we kept it tight.
That's fantastic. What did the governor say that you liked, and was there anything the governor said that made you, it gave you a little pause?
I mean, I think, you know, we saw our governor on the national stage over the summer when he was the vice presidential candidate for Kamala Harris. And I think, you know, he got this national spotlight and he was fired up and he rose to the occasion and he, you know, brought his whole humanity and his family and sort of everything along with him. And of course, I'm sure that was totally exhausting and he needed to, you know, kind of take a beat and regroup and, you know, spend time at home and with his family and all of that. So what my big takeaway from Tuesday was, he's back.
Okay.
I mean, it really felt like he was energized. He was fired up. He was, you know, had that polish that we got to see for his being on the trail at that higher level.
Yep.
And, you know, he brought the fire too. He was not pulling punches, talking about how the federal cuts and chaos is impacting our state and the people of our state, and, you know, stating unequivocally that Minnesota is still trying our very best to be the best place to raise a family. Still trying to, you know, take care of our most vulnerable people, not giving in to bullies. And I wish I could remember sort of the three like tenets that he talked about. I know the last one was freedom. And the way he framed kind of those three principles, I thought was, you know, really strong, really relatable. And he had some line that even at the time, I remember being like, "Woo!" and it was the line about, you know, if you care about due process and about, you know, all of these things that we purport to hold dear as Americans, but if you care about all of that, but only for a few, that's not the American way. That's not freedom. That's privilege. And I just thought, oh yeah, what a great way to state that. If it's, you know, freedom for me, but not for thee, that's in fact not how this country is supposed to work. Right. And so I thought that that was just a beautiful way to kind of put a pin in that.
That's fantastic. That's great. Yeah. Anything he said that made you think, we might have to talk about that?
I mean, I think, you know, he wants to strike a conciliatory or, you know, like a compromising stance for sure. Like, we're trying to get a budget over the line. There is no majority or minority party in the Minnesota House. We are tied. So I think, of course, wanting to make sure that, you know, he's striking a tone that we do have common ground on. And I think that that's good and that's right. And also, you know, there, you can't negotiate with terrorists. And what we have seen Donald Trump doing is, like, he got, you know, all this money and concessions from these big corporations. He's still bringing the hammer down on them. And so just to make sure that we are clear that when you're dealing with a bully, especially a lawless bully, that there is no compromise. I mean, you can't actually compromise. That's just capitulating to the bullying. And that doesn't make the bully stop. That actually emboldens them. So I just hope that we we're clear-eyed about especially the threats coming from the federal government. I'm not especially hopeful that we won't have to have a special session, not because we won't get our work done, but because all of these curveballs and you know, illegal things coming from the federal government, and because we have a part-time legislature, we are not equipped to be able to deal with a federal government sowing all this chaos. So he may have to call us back in, you know, if there's a elimination of a federal agency, which is not constitutional. I mean, that's the job of Congress, not the president. But so I think we just need to, I think he did a great job of kind of staking our claim of, like, we're doing our job and we're going to continue to defend and fight for Minnesotans. And, you know, unfortunately, if we have more chaos and more change-ups coming from the federal government, that changes the calculus of what we, like, what my job is and what his job as governor is.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, there was the summer of 2020 where they had to call seven different special sessions. Of course, that was all basically George Floyd related. But it will be interesting to see what happens over the next few months. What time do you have to be back on the floor today?
We are reconvening at 10 o'clock. Okay. Although, because it's Arbor Day, Chair of the Ag Committee, Rick Hansen, always gets trees. And so starting at 8 o'clock, there is some individual packaging, like, you know, wet paper towels because they're bare root, and then compostable bags, packaging all of those trees so that members and staff can grab an Arbor Day tree today. So that packaging happens well before we're on the floor at 10. And then we'll dismiss for Rules Committee, Ways and Means Committee, and then we'll come back. I think we're hoping maybe noon-ish to hear five bills on the floor today.
Five bills.
Yep.
Well, I want to personally wish you great luck today, Christy.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to come back to the district whenever it is that I get to do that today. Hopefully today.
You will be welcomed back with open arms, I'm sure.